Well, thank you again for joining us on this podcast. Today we have a real special treat. You surely know Sid Mallory. If you don't, you need to know Sid. He is just, you know, when you're in this business long enough and you travel the country like we get to hear what others say about other consultants. And I tell you what, we always get glowing praise when we talk about Sid Mallory. And so Sid, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Eddie. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for the kind words, and I return them to you, my friend.
A lot of good comments
about you.
Sid, you know, I could read his bio, but it'd take more time than we'd like. You just need to know he's the ultimate professional. He really knows what he's doing, and this series is we're talking to icons in our industry, and Sid is right on top of that list. So, Sid, I want to ask you two questions. The first question is, what have you learned that's really made a difference?
So I think, you know, it's interesting because, as you know, you and I kind of suffer from the same disease. I am an accountant, and yep. I practiced accounting for 20 years, never realizing that I'd ever be in fundraising. But for 30 years now, I've been in this wonderful business, and I think over that 30-year period, I think I've come to know that you have to put the time in with the donors. You have to make calls, one-on-one calls, and be out in the field. And what we see now in our work with our clients around the country is we find many of the staff, when you sit down and talk with them about what they do during the day or during the week or whatever, they're busy, but we call it being too busy to be successful, because they're busy doing things that really have no relationship to fundraising, as far as doing things that are touches or moves that move the process along. And along with that, Eddie, I think one of the things that brings that on is that fundraisers, and I would put you and I in that category, we are natural pleasers. Mm-hmm. And when people ask us to do things, like the CEO comes to the executive director of the foundation or the director of development, whatever the title is, and says, we need you to take on managing the volunteers, or we need you to take on managing another area in the hospital, we tend to want to say yes because we're natural pleasers. And when what we've got to come to understand is, if we're going to be in fundraising, we need to be held accountable for goals and raising the dollars that are needed in healthcare. And that means we've got to be out of the office making visits, calling on donors, and doing the things that really move from identification and introduction all the way up to the ask and the close. And so it's amazing to me to hear some of our wonderful fundraising clients across the country talk about how busy they are, but yet when you get down, you drill down into it, they're busy doing things that really don't promote fundraising. So I think over the years, the thing that I've learned is you can't raise money sitting behind a desk.
Isn't that the truth? That is absolutely true.
I know a lot of people that have tried, and yep. You know, the end result of that generally is the same.
You know, and I think what happens too, Sid, is that maybe we don't feel prepared. We're afraid of being rejected. There's a lot of excuses we can offer, but there are very few reasons. We need to be out seeing the folks. That's where money's raised.
You know, it's interesting. I had the pleasure for 14 years to be a part of the faculty at the Madison Institute up at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And, you know, I think it's AHP's premier educational event. And I did the last few years, I was in the major gifts track. I chaired that track for several years. And we, you know, there would be probably 40 to 50 major gift officers from around the country in the room, and we would go around and talk about that subject that you just brought up. What are the barriers to really that particular person going out and raising money? And I think the fear of a no probably is number one. And number two, they don't know what to do. And so I think training, having people, having great organizations like yours and having AHP available to provide training. And the other thing is we would actually sit down and do role playing.
There you go.
And I was always amazed at how, you start out on Sunday, in the class, and you've got someone who you can tell obviously is timid and shy, and you wonder how could they ever raise money. And then by the end of the week, when they've done some actual role playing and you've put them in positions, they've really learned what they need to do. And it kind of is amazing to see the transformation. And I think, again, some folks in our profession are afraid to ask for help. And anybody listening to this, I would really encourage that not be your view of this. I learn every day from wonderful clients, from people like Eddie Thompson. I learn something new every day about fundraising. And so if you need help, you need to ask for it.
I did a speech to an international organization, it's been 3 or 4 years ago now, Sid, and there were 2,700 fundraisers, 2,700 in the room. And I asked, how many have ever been trained to solicit? Three raised their hands. And I think we need ongoing refresher courses and, getting them past that fear. My dad used to say that I never have the right to assume someone does not want to give. I have the obligation to ask them. And, I think that makes a difference. Let me ask you one other question. Well, this is kind of a naughty question, but I think it's an important question. What mistake or mistakes have you made, Sid, that you've learned from?
Boy, we don't have time for this, for all of them on this. But, I think that's a thought-provoking question. I think that, one of the things that it took me a long time to learn is that donors give to meet their needs and not the needs of the organization. And
I hope people are listening to this. Restate that.
Well, again, donors give to meet their needs. They give to meet their needs and not the needs of the organization. And I can remember early on, and I've got to say, I don't do as much solicitation now that I've gone to the dark side of being a consultant. But I think early on, we all sort of make the mistake of we go in and we sit down with a prospect, and the first thing we do is we sort of start regurgitating all of our needs to that prospect, and we're just almost throwing up on the person. Just here's this, and we need this, and we need that, and you know what? We think that is the way to do this because that's what our CEO told us were the highest priorities. And Sid, get out there and raise $1 million for this. And I think it took me a while to really understand what that sort of unfocused stare was looking back at me from some of the donor prospects. Is they didn't this was something that it was of no interest. And I'll give you a great example of this. I ran the fundraising for the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas for 7 or 8 years back in the late 90s, early 2000s. We dealt primarily in very large major gifts. And I'm sure you've got folks listening to this that deal, primarily in major gifts. And I remember one specific instance, we sat down, we did some research on a particular prospect, and we thought we had really lined up a project that this particular prospect would really be interested in. Not once realizing that not only was that not true, we weren't even close, but we really didn't take the time to fully understand or listen to that prospect. And we went in after months of literally months of preparation, and made an ask of $25 million to name a particular facility that we were putting in. And we had all the right people in the room. We thought it was just magnificent. And we went through everything, and the donor prospect sat there and listened and watched us, didn't say anything. And I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? And didn't ask any questions. So we got to the end, and the donor said, thank you. Come back to me when you fully understand what I'm interested in supporting.
Oh, wow.
And I will never, ever in my life forget that, because it just brought it full circle that we had not done our homework properly. We had not used the two things on our head that God gave us, which are the best tools of fundraising, which are our ears, and we had never really bothered to understand where that donor's interest, and we were so far off on that ask, that donor had no interest in naming number one. So I think, I think it's just a real good lesson in listening. And again, if you want to do something that's really challenging, and we used to do this again at the Madison Institute in Major Gifts Track, we would have tables of eight, and we would pair off in twos. And the challenge was, look at your partner for 3 minutes and don't say anything. And you would be surprised how hard that is for some people, because again, we're natural pleasers. And if the conversation stops or drops, our first instinct is to do what? Bring it, keep talking, rather than let the donor be thoughtful, give their thoughts about, what they feel. So I think that's probably the biggest mistake that I made, and it was a good learning experience. And I can tell you that the last part of my career on the side of being the fundraiser, we did a lot of listening, and I think that's what led to success. And Jerry Lindsay and Jerry Panis, God rest his soul, used to say, "Listen the gift." You can listen the gift from start to finish, and they are right. If we're good listeners, the donor is going to take you right to where the donor is comfortable. So that's a good lesson for all of us to learn.
And we've all made that mistake. At least I have. I could tell the stories too. I tell you what, there's just, if you want to understand how to be successful in this industry, you need to listen to Sid. Great comment, Sid. You're a great professional, and you're somebody I look up to and admire. I really respect you. I appreciate you taking time to be with us today.
Eddie, it's my pleasure, and good luck to everyone that's listening, and really enjoy these podcasts. So thank you for inviting me.
So this has been Sid Mallory. He's a partner with Henderson Mallory Partners out of Austin, Texas, but he travels the country. And Sid, we appreciate your time. We wish you all the very best. We look forward to being with you again on the next podcast.
Thank you, Eddie.